Well, one of the things that we know is that change is the one constant, which Carrie has so beautifully demonstrated in the lyrics of her song, where she talks about the various types of changes that we witness and experience in our lives. And it was witnessing the changes that I was seeing around me in such large numbers in my life, in our community here, and in our world, and that I was experiencing for myself all of these back-to-back-to-back multiple changes, and there were just so many, that it took me back to a book by my favorite instructor when I was studying at Unity Institute at Unity Village, Robert Brummett's Finding Yourself in Transition. Amazing, a powerful book. I took the class with him, and I even taught the class, maybe it was 2005 or 6. And I'd really forgotten about the book and the class, but then I kept seeing all of these changes and so many drastic and unexpected changes showing up in people's lives and in the world today, that I decided I need to go back and revisit this. And it was so powerful to go back to that and to look at the way he explains the process of change or transition and supports us in moving through it in an easier, more knowledgeable way. And I said, you know, I need to talk about it. I need to talk about it, because there are so many people in our congregation who could probably use this information. You see, change is a type of death. Every change is a type of death, because with change, there is an ending. Change is always preceded by an ending. An ending of something, something we've loved, something we're holding on to, a concept about ourselves or our lives, a relationship, a marriage, someone who dies. There is a type of death in all change. And the number one thing that we fear is death. Even a serious medical diagnosis is a change, it's a transition, it is a kind of death. Because we are dying to something previously and moving through it to something else. Pain in change is inevitable. Pain in transition is inevitable. However, suffering is optional if we understand the process, the stages of transition, and what we can do about it as we move through it. We do not have to live in a state of suffering as these transitions occur within our lives. Transition, like the Ebola situation and other threats to the security umbrella that we have been living in under in this nation. It is a kind of death, because we are dying to the feeling of safety and security we once had. But there is a powerful process that is going on in this transition. Brummett parallels it to the journey of the Israelites, or children of Israel, as we refer to them, in their journey from slavery to the promised land. And he says that in the process of transition. While we do experience the pain, the power is in knowing that there is a purpose to it that is unfolding as we move through it. So let's look at first the stages of transition. Then we're going to look at the journey of the Israelites in their transition. And then we're going to bring it together as the parallel for our lives. And then we're going to look at some steps we can use to move through the transitions that are showing up in our life right now. So the first stage of transition is endings. Endings. Every transition is preceded by an ending. And within these endings, or this type of death, as I have said, there are four aspects. And the first aspect of the ending is disengagement. We are pulled away from something we held dear. A relationship, a marriage, a job, a house, children leaving home to go to college. We are pulled away from something we were connected to. It may be our safety. If in a medical diagnosis, it may be our security that we are healthy and safe from illness. That is stripped away from us. We disengage from it. And that is terrifying. It is a very terrifying experience. And from the disengagement is disidentification. Because you see, everything in our lives, we have an identity related to it. In the marriage, we were either husband or wife. Or maybe we had family unit, and so we were part of a family. So we have lost the identity of husband or wife or family. In the death of someone, if it is a mother, we have lost the identity of daughter or son. If it is a father, we've lost the identity of daughter or son. If it's a sister, we are no longer identified as the sibling of that person. If it is retirement, and believe it or not, retirement is a kind of death because we no longer have the identity as employed or as part of ABC company. If we change our house, we sell our house to move to another neighborhood because we're paring down, because we're becoming empty nesters, or because financially it is necessary, we are no longer the neighbor of the Smiths. We are no longer part of that neighborhood. So we lose the identity of that which is removed from our lives. Suddenly, drastically. The next is disenchantment. This is where we lose our faith in something we have believed in. Maybe we lose our faith in marriage. Maybe we lose our faith in being safe. Maybe we lose our faith in God. We lose our faith in something that we have believed in related to that which has been taken away. And the final piece of endings is disorientation. And of course, if we have lost something dear to us and then lost our identity and then lost our faith, of course there is a disorientation. We feel as if we have nothing to hold on to. We've lost our life maps. And we're struggling to find our way. And this leads into the second stage, which is the void. And it is in the void that we are stripped naked. We are stripped down to our pure self, that self without the trappings of what was, without the labels of what we had or what we were connected to, so that we can be moved through to the next stage, which is the new beginning and the new realization of who we are and the new person we are becoming or have become. But the void is that time where the seed lies fallow in the ground, losing its covering so that the roots can grow out and go deep into the earth to create the plant which is becoming. Are you with me? And it is a scary time, that time of the void. How many of you have experienced the void? Yeah. Yeah. It can be something that can make us want to give up. When people were asked how it felt or how they felt during a drastic transition, they said they felt loss. They felt as if the bottom had dropped out. They felt discouraged. They didn't even know who they were. That's the void. But it's okay, because you see, the transition is all about the potential that is rising up within us to create this new awareness, this new level of consciousness, this new being that we are moving toward. So, even though it is painful, when we understand what it is we are experiencing, we can hold on without giving up, because we know that the void is not the death, but the void is the beginning of the awakening. The void is preparing us. And Brahmit says, it is the time when we must turn within to the God of our understanding and trust that we are being guided. The void is also known as the wilderness experience. And the last stage of transition is the new beginning, the new awareness, the new life, the new you, the new me, the new us that is being formed. It's that plant that the seed created the roots to grow. That plant has sprouted, it has grown, it has matured, it's ready for harvest. And yes, this transition is painful, but we can avoid the suffering once we understand what is happening to us. And most of the time, we have not known what's going on. We truly have experienced that it was a death, but we haven't understand that without death, there's no life. So when there is a death, there is a life that comes after it. And so the children of Israel, in their journey, and I won't bother with the scripture because it's so much and it's in three different books of the Bible and so forth, but Cliff Notes version. God goes to Moses and says, go to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go. Children of Israel who've been in captivity. And Moses says, say what now? God says, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses says, who, me? Who am I going to go to Pharaoh and tell him that he's got to let his people go? And God said, tell them I am. Tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. And so Moses goes and says, let God's people go. And Pharaoh says no. And so what ensues, of course, is all the different plagues, the frogs and locusts and the bug and the boils and so forth. Death. You all know all the story. Okay. You saw Charlton Heston in the movie. If not, rent it. And ultimately, Pharaoh says, oh, take these people. It's not worth it. So they begin their journey, and the first thing they meet is the Red Sea. So the children of Israel represent our soul in its human embodiment as it moves toward and through each stage of our evolution in consciousness. Moses represents that divine spark within us sent by the soul to lead us out of our captivity, our bondage, to those things in our lives that keep us from evolving to the highest and best possibility that we are capable of. Pharaoh represents the human ego, and that's what keeps us in bondage, because the ego is constantly feeding us with erroneous ideas that we are not good enough, that we are unworthy, that we are unlovable, that we can't do it, that we'll never find a job, that we'll never have a relationship, that we'll never have love, that we'll never be loved. And so the Moses of us frees us from the erroneous actions of the ego. The Red Sea represents those things that rise up, those challenges that rise up in our journey that seem to keep us from moving forward. Notice I said seem to keep us from moving forward. But when we allow the God of our understanding to guide us, to direct us, to tell us what to do, how to do it, where to go, then we know how to handle those challenges that show up in our lives. We can speak to it with the power that we are and tell it to part, to get out of the way and allow us to move through to our promised land. The promised land represents the unfoldment of our divine perfection as we move into that new life, that new way of being, that new us. And the wilderness experience represents what is the same as that void, that place of stopping and being and allowing the power to begin to take root within us. We have let go of the old, of the past, of that which no longer serves us. And so now we are there, open and receptive to what is becoming. The possibilities that are churning within us for the new skin that is coming. And so as we move into the last stage, we move into the promised land, We are like new babies, like toddlers. We have new skin. We are innocent again. We are open and receptive to everything. We are in wonder because everything is made new. Now, it can be challenging when we come into that new skin because we come back into a world that still has some of the stuff from the old, and so we have to be more aware of where we go and what we do and who we relate to and connect with so that we are supported in this new skin and in this toddler stage and this era of wonder. And that is once again where we allow God to guide us, to let us know what God would have us do, where God would have us go, what God would have us say, and to whom. And so we move into that new life. All is made new. That plant has matured. And so such is the journey of transition. It is very similar to a rites of passage, ancient rites of passage. And it is challenging when we are unaware of what is going on. It is normal to have fear when we are in the process of transition, because we don't know what's happening. And so it's my desire, it is my hope, my dream, that having this information, because it's happening all around us right now, my beloveds, there is so much transition going on. So much. That we must prepare ourselves to move through it with grace, to move through it successfully, and to come out to the other side where we are reborn, we are reawakened, we are reignited with the fire of spirit within us. And so there's some steps I'd like to share with you. Now, these are not Brummett steps. He doesn't really give specific laid out steps, but he talks throughout the book about how to handle the transition process. And I do plan to teach that class next year at some point. But so I made up my own stages. So be patient with me, okay? So be aware of the feelings that arise. Be aware of the feelings that show up. Fear, doubt, anxiety, grief, sadness. Be aware of them. Just be aware of them. Don't resist them. Be aware of them. The second is to feel them fully. Feel your feelings fully. It's something we teach in radical forgiveness. Feel your feelings when they come up. Feel them. Because it is unhealthy for us to suppress our feelings and emotions. They turn in on us and create conditions in our body. I can remember being down on the floor with my forehead on the carpet, feeling my feelings completely. And feeling as if the skin was being ripped from my body, as if I was being burned alive. And I just stayed there and sobbed with the most painfully deep sobs I had ever cried. And at some point, I saw my soul. And I knew what that transition had been about. I knew. And I got up. and begin to move toward that new me, that new awakening, that new awareness, that new level of consciousness, that new spiritual understanding. Feel those feelings completely. Let go of outer solutions. Let go of outer solutions. Turn away from the books and the classes. Don't call your girlfriends. Don't call the guys together for a beer. It is the time to go within and ask the questions. Even if it's, hey God, what's up? Or what is this for? What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? I'm willing to do your will. But don't look for the outer solutions, because the solution is within us. Okay, begin. Oh, yes. Okay. Begin letting go of what was. Begin letting go of what was. It may be difficult to let go of what was. We've been pretty attached to it for some time. Be willing to let it go. Because it no longer serves us. And I'm not being insensitive to the loss of a loved one, but here's the thing. The holding on to that loved one in the physical body doesn't serve you anymore, because they are no longer in the physical body. They are in their spirit bodies and are closer to you than they ever were before. Begin to let go. Be willing to let go. If you can't be willing to be willing to be willing. But just offer that little willingness to Spirit, and Spirit will support you in letting the rest of it go. Look for those moments to experience joy without feeling guilty. If you've lost a loved one and you're having joy and excitement, you're having fun, and you start to feel guilty, understand that loved one is having fun and laughing and having joy right with you. And because you are happy and having fun and joy. So let go of the guilt, because you were meant to live in joy, and that person is in a perpetual state of joy right now. Expect the promised land. Expect it. See, in prayer, it's not what we ask for that shows up, it's what we expect. You've heard the phrase, expect a miracle. Not pray for one, expect a miracle. Be open and receptive that you have a right to it, that it is yours by divine birthright. Our elder brother Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. If you have something at hand, it usually means it's pretty close by, right? Like, for instance, a bowl of sugar is at hand. That means you can reach over, grab the bowl of sugar, and use it. So the kingdom of heaven, the promised land, our good, our magnificence, our new life, our new being is at hand. So expect it. respect it. And so I want us to look at our affirmation. Okay. Shall we say it together? Ready?
I experience change with the awareness that the promised land is at hand.
Again,
I experience change with the awareness that the promised land is at hand.
And once more,
I experience change with the awareness that the promised land is at hand.
Expect it. And so if you are experiencing transition right now, don't run from it. Don't resist it. It makes it more difficult. Embrace it. Embrace change. Go to meet it as if it is a dear friend coming to support you, because it is. Because as souls, every transition is a step closer to fulfilling the purpose for which we have come into the world. Embrace change and let the God of your understanding embrace you and guide you through it.